This week before last, I hardly found any caterpillars in the greenhouse. I was so excited. I thought, okay, last couple of weeks, not very many. Debbie goes in every morning. Her numbers were down. It was looking good. So we're thinking, okay, we're on the other side of this caterpillar story. And then I was minding my own business, walking down what I call the jungle, between the okra and the tomatoes. Those of you who've been in there, it really does feel like you're in a jungle. And as I'm walking by this tomato plant, ding, 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 I notice there's a bunch of leaves missing. So I go, uh-oh, caterpillars. I have a thing in the greenhouse with Toby. I go, caterpillar alert, and he comes running from wherever he is, and he kills it for me, right, Toby?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, caterpillar alert, I know there's caterpillars on here because this plant was in bad shape, this tomato plant. So I stop, I start looking, and don't see any tomato hornworms. Completely eat the whole leaf. They don't just eat part of the leaf. They eat the whole leaf, then they move to the next leaf, eat the whole leaf, move to the next. But this plant had partially eaten leaves. So I knew we weren't looking at tomato hornworms. We had probably just a caterpillar, because you could tell either that or grasshoppers. So I'm looking, and all of a sudden, Lord, give me eyes to see what I can't see. I start seeing these little tiny green caterpillars. Most of them had already spun a web to turn into a moth and go fly and lay 50 eggs to turn into 50 caterpillars. So I start picking them off, and then Brett shows up. I put him to work. He's helping me. Sally came in for a little bit. She started to help. She said, I want to find one. But these guys are a different kind of caterpillar. They're tiny. They don't get big. And they get up under the leaf, and they'll wrap that leaf around them so that they're hidden inside the leaf. You can't see them. That's what I was finding. And I'm counting. I mean, I am on it. I'm counting, counting. By the time we quit, we had found 38 caterpillars on this one tomato plant. And I'm like, oh, boy. So at 37, I quit. I said, 37, that's the number we got. And then Brett says, oh, found another one. So we had 38, which God used it to speak a prophetic message to someone here. It was really, really sweet. The next day I go in, I check the plant, because you just do that. And the next thing I know, I found 12 more. That was 50 caterpillars on this one tomato plant. And I said, all right, Lord, what are you saying? And he pointed out to me that before, the first round of caterpillars were those great big ones. These are little. He said, I'm going after the really little hidden things in your life on this farm. Those things that are wrapped up under and tight and covered in a white, their cocoon looks like a white, soft, silky little nest is what it looks like. And he said, I'm going after that in your life now. Those little things that are so hidden, you can't see them. And I stepped back, and we started finding them everywhere, right, Debbie? I mean, they were like on basil. We plant basil because basil is a repellent. Insects don't like it. Debbie finds them she texts me, hey, we got them on the basil. What? Or I think I was in there that morning. What? They can't be on the basil. Yep, they're on the basil, eating basil. And it was ridiculous this whole week, just every single day, caterpillar, these little ones, not the tomato hornworms, the little guys. So I just want to encourage us all, don't stop. We're not done yet. Keep asking God for eyes to see what you can't see, ears to hear what you can't hear, what you don't want to hear, and a heart that will understand and be quick to obey. And so, because we want to be that spotless, without wrinkle bride. Everybody in this room wants that. We desire that. And we need God to open our eyes so that we can see those areas of sin and compromise and attitudes. And I found myself this morning thinking, I had a rough day today emotionally. I had a rough day yesterday. I've had a couple of really hard days emotionally. And this morning I was talking to the Lord about everything and trying to get my heart back a little bit, not so hurting. And I was just talking to the Lord about how hard life is sometimes here. A lot of times it's hard. It just is hard. Tough things happen. Things happen that you don't want to happen, and people you love, things happen, and we're not always Christ-like, and we hurt each other. And so that's where I was at with the Lord, just talking about that. And I just felt like he said, you know, Rhonda, I promised, and it's really true, I promised that everything that Satan meant for evil, I will turn it for good. I promise that. It's a promise. And you can put it in the bank. You can count on it. It doesn't matter how difficult or how ugly or how hard, it's my promise. And you know, sometimes that means that thing won't get turned to good in this life. It might not happen until the eternal life, but it will be turned to good. All of it, every part of it, every ugly, painful thing that doesn't look fair, right, just, whatever, it will all be turned to good. And then he said something that kind of really got my attention. He said, and not only that, but through it, you will glorify me. And I just sat there and I thought, how does that even work? You know, because some of those painful things are because we've sinned. You know, how will he be glorified through where I sinned? And then I was reminded of that encounter I had with the Lord that time where he showed me that throughout eternity, my sins and my weakness and the areas I've struggled, I'll be so free from any shame or condemnation, or I won't be in that place where I got to hide my weaknesses. We'll all know each other by the Spirit, and no one will judge anybody. No one will point a finger at anybody. No one will try to be better than anybody else or look better than. You know, we'll all be fully in Christ and Christ in us. And because of that, we'll all be free to be completely transparent. And my story has a whole lot of areas where I sinned in it, where I chose evil instead of God. And even those areas in my life will glorify him, because I'll be able to say to everybody I meet forever, all eternity, wow, I was a sinner my whole life. I never, ever got to a place where I didn't sin. And in spite of that, he loved me. He chose me. He poured himself into me. He forgave me 1,000,000,000 times. And I'll be able to preach that gospel forever. The gospel won't stop being preached when this era ends. It'll only be beginning, because then we'll preach it in fullness. We'll preach it the way it really is. We'll have a full understanding. And it won't be about somebody's doctrine, or it won't be about whether I teach Revelation correct or not. You know, that's been a thing Satan's hit me with in the spirit, is who do you think you are to teach the book of Revelation? You can't teach that book. And what if you're teaching it wrong? It comes with a curse if you add anything to that book, right? And so that's been something that I've had to battle. And I know that I'm not teaching it 100% right. That's why every time I get up here, I say, I know it. I'm not claiming to be teaching it 100% right, but I'm doing my best. That's one thing Toby tells me all the time. I'll do my best, Grammy. And boy, has God been using that in my life, because I do my best. And he has to fill in the gaps, and he has to correct me, and he has to add to and take away. And my salvation has to be, and your salvation has to be built on the fact that you cannot be a good Christian. You can't. You're never going to be a good Christian. The only way you'll be a Christian is if Christ, the only Christian, shines through you and comes out of you and is projected, and he lives his life through you. He's the only good Christian. We're an empty glass. He's the good Christian. And we just got to get out of his way, and we got to stop letting our flesh rise up and run our lives and run our mouth and run our minds and our actions. So in that sense, that forever and ever and ever, our weaknesses, our failures, our sins will glorify Christ, we can take a deep breath today and go, God, if you don't conquer this sin issue in my life, I'm sunk. And then all the pressure goes on him, and it comes off of us. Because if it's on us and we're trying to do it, we're God with a little g. And a lot of Christianity has taught us to be the good Christian, and to determine whether we're a good Christian or not based on how well we manage ourselves. And that's just not in the gospel, the true gospel. I just believe that our testimony before him forever and ever will be to everybody we ever meet in eternity, will be, but for the grace of God. The only reason I'm here is because of the grace of my God. And he was merciful, and he saved me, and he lived his life through me, and he conquered sin and the grave in me, not just in Sheol, but he conquered it in me. And those of you that are going to be baptized tonight, that's what you're doing. Whether you realize it or not, you're standing by the act of baptism and saying, I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. But from the moment I come up out of that grave, that water is called a grave in the Bible. When I come up out of that grave, I'm coming up somebody different. I will never be who I was before I went under that water again. I will be a new creation. I will be dead, and Christ will be alive. And his life, his faith, is how I will choose to live for the rest of my life. Not by what I want, not by what I think, not by what somebody else tells me, but by the fact that the living God lives inside of me. And I've stepped aside and said, it's your life to live, God. It's not my life. It's your life. And as you know, I was thinking of that analogy Erica shared, and how I've shared part of that when I was in Singapore, and God gave me that vision of the empty glass and him pouring himself, into us. We can't do the plunging down into God. You can't make that happen. You can't cause it. The only way that step is going to happen is by you positioning yourself before God and saying, I'm a sinner. If you don't save me, I'm lost, God. I'm a sinner. And when you do that and you say, come into my life, he comes into you. And when God comes into you, he's the one that plunges you down into himself. You can't do it. You try it, and it's called idolatry. And as we allow him to pour himself into us, and he continues that process, he begins to take possession of us. And that's not a one-time prayer. That's a lifetime journey where God pours himself into us over and over and over and shows us the caterpillars. And we go, oh, that's a caterpillar. I don't want it in my life. Caterpillar alert. And the Holy Spirit comes and plucks that thing out of us and fills that place where that caterpillar was stealing your life, called Christ. Satan literally is stealing the Christ in you. He's eating Christ when you partner with sin. He's devouring your Christ life. And if that continues, you will die. Just like that tomato plant. You will die if somebody doesn't intervene. And thankfully, we intervened. And that tomato plant has little tiny little leaf buds coming out already. That is true for all of us. And if you notice, I could have walked by that tomato plant and said, oh, caterpillars, and kept on walking. Guess what would have happened? Those of you gardeners out there, it'd be dead, right, Celeste? Be dead in a few days. We need each other. We need each other to speak the truth to each other. We've become so afraid of speaking the truth that we've allowed our brothers and sisters to continue in harmful behavior. Behavior that's contrary to Christ-likeness. Because we don't want to offend, and we don't want to hurt, and we don't want to whatever, fill in the blank. That's not true love. Christ modeled true love for us. And boy, he spoke the truth every time to everyone. And some of the times you read the way he talked to those scribes and Pharisees, and you go, whoo, boy, wow, because he didn't hold back. But he knew if he held back, the consequence, not just for them, but for all the people that followed the scribes and Pharisees, that were buying into their lifestyle, it would send them to hell. He said at one time to the Pharisees, you're making them twice as fit for hell with your doctrine. That's why he was so hard on them. We can't afford, not in this hour of our lives, we cannot afford to not see and not hear. That greenhouse is such a classroom for me, such a place for God to speak. And I was just standing in the front. I spent one day out there really late this week, and I was all by myself, and it was, I don't know, 5:36, I don't know. I'm standing in the doors, and I'm looking at the greenhouse, and, you know, this is the time of year when gardens start dying, and they diminish, and you start pulling out the plants and getting ready if you're going to plant a winter garden. But in the greenhouse, everything's just flourishing, and I've got from old plants to brand new little tiny seedlings coming up. all kinds of variety, all kinds of different plant life. And I was standing there and I just felt that little whisper, this is what my church looks like. And Josiah and Johnny and Troy, before you got sick, had this perspective of that greenhouse that I haven't had up on that ladder, up in the heights of the hot. You know, it was 90 where I was. It was 110 where they were. But that's God's perspective. He's up. He sees the whole picture, the whole thing. I can only see little pieces of it. God sees everything. He understands why you are where you are today. He sees what happened when you were 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, 7 years old. He saw what happened that set you on the trajectory that brought you to where you are today. He understands, but he doesn't turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to it. He puts things in motion to reveal and uncover what's hidden, what's destroying you, what's going to kill you if you don't stop it. Because he loves you. He loves us. He loves his church. He loves his creation. And he wants to not just reveal it, he wants to kill it. Like Toby with those caterpillars. He wants to kill it, right, Toby?
Yeah.
Do away with it. Like done. Can't ever affect you again.
Yep.
You got some. I would just pray that we all get that attitude.
Yeah.
That we are aggressive. We're focused. We're determined to get rid of all those things in our lives that are eating us up, that are destroying and stealing the life of Christ in us.